It's episode number 21 of the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. I'm your host, Tyron Mountain, and this week we have a gentleman on the show who did the radio thing. Now he's doing the podcasting thing. Plus, stick around to the very end of the episode for an exclusive offer that you won't find in the show notes. Rem Levictoire is our guest this week, and we're going to learn all about podcasting from a radio broadcaster's perspective. So now my guest today is a veteran of the radio world. He's worked on air in multiple formats, including adult, contemporary, that's AC, album-oriented rock, and new country. He left the radio industry when widespread adoption of the voice tracking and automation happened, but he's kept involved in voice work, doing commercials, PSAs, podcasting, intros and extras. And then in 2013, he started the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast with his co-hosts Ian and Jonathan. They have recorded over 100 episodes, and that's just getting started. His name is Rem. Now you're gonna have to help me out here. Rem, is it Rem? Is it Remy?
You know, technically,
because I know there's one you do prefer not to be called.
It's technically Remy, but that was my dad's name. And growing up, they never called me Remy, so I never bonded to the name.
Okay.
So people who know me and like me seem to call me Rem.
Okay.
And that seems to be more like my name. And the last name is long in French, and it's Levictoire.
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 Am I doing the part correct?
You can put a little bit of phlegmy sort of stuff.
Levictoire.
Levictoire. And there are people who pronounce it much better than me.
That's funny. Isn't that funny how that, you know, because I know my mother-in-law, she gets in fights with her brother on how to pronounce their own last name.
I know. How is it a person can? I don't know my own name.
Like, it's like, no, this is how my name, like Kyron. I'm sure you could say it different ways based on how it's spelled, but no, it's Kyron. And no, the spelling doesn't make sense.
And you know this.
Yeah.
You know this.
It happens, right? Rem, it's awesome to finally get you on the show, sir. We've been trying to do this for a little bit now, and luckily we finally got you. I guess let's jump back to the start. You're a podcaster. You do the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast. You actually had me on the show 1 week. Unfortunately, it was the week you weren't there, so I missed you.
Right.
But thank you for having me on the show that week. Where did that all start? Where did the idea come from for that show?
The idea for the podcast, it was something that it was a need to express creativity because my background's radio. And, you know, as a radio guy, that there's a certain sort of thing inside you that you just got to get out. And after I got out of radio, I kind of realized I was waiting for something to come along that I could do that was creative. And I was waiting for podcasting before I knew I was waiting for podcasting. And I always go back and credit the man who made me, Cliff Ravenscraft, who got me into podcasting. And I decided if I was going to do a podcast, it had to be something that I really loved and I knew I could do for a while. And,
okay.
And science fiction has been there all my life. It's something that I've just loved as a kid. So I wanted to be able to talk about science fiction, but do it in a way that's intelligent and fun and gives a chance for people to learn a little bit more about movies that they might not already know. So I found a couple of co-hosts, and we've been doing it for just about 2 years now.
So give us an example of what something that might be, you know, if someone who knows they like the movie, but they're going to learn something that they didn't already know. What kind of things do you guys do in the show?
Well, we talked about Godzilla. Now,
okay.
Godzilla, the character, has almost 30 movies to his credit.
Right.
And we brought on a guy named Tony, super, super smart guy, knows Godzilla inside out, upside down and sideways. And one of the things that we talked about is that the whole idea of Godzilla was brought up as a way of the Japanese learning to deal with the fears and the horrors after the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II. So had those atomic explosions not happened, we might not have Godzilla.
I think it'd be good to say we wouldn't have Godzilla.
Very safe to say, but it's interesting to look at a character like this and say, oh, so Godzilla is really a representation of the fears that the Japanese had experienced over those bombings in World War II. And I think it's kind of important to keep that history alive because it's super important for me to understand where things come from. And it's not just a mythical creature. It's something that actually was caused by a real life event.
That's so cool. And that's just one example of what you could learn from a sci-fi movie during the show. Now let's talk about your hosts, your co-hosts in the show. You've got two of them that are constants.
Yes, and they're so much smarter than me. It's I was so
just not good, not as good looking as you though.
You know, I'm the looks. I'm really I'm the obligatory eye candy, and Ian and Jonathan are really the brains of the outfit.
Love you guys.
And I met Ian through a friend here in Victoria. She put me in touch with Ian because she knew I was looking for a co-host. And Ian is a huge sci-fi fan, and he's a database of information. And then when we got to, I guess, the fourth episode, a guy that I worked with, turns out he was a big sci-fi fan too, and he was great. So we brought him on as a guest, and he's now become he's like the third guy, and we still refer to him as the new guy, sort of like Neil Peart is the new guy in Rush.
Okay. Even though he's been there for how many years now?
He's been with us since episode 4, and we've just done episode 102. He's still the new guy.
So does he become the non-new guy after he's been there for 100 episodes?
No, he's still always the new guy. But these guys are super great, and they're both really knowledgeable in sci-fi, comics, fantasy material. So I'm so fortunate to be able to talk movies with these guys who are so smart about the content. So I really hit it lucky.
That's awesome. So before podcasting though, I think you've got a little bit of broadcasting background. What's that all about?
Oh, the radio trauma. Yeah.
Radio trauma.
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, the dark arts of broadcasting. No, radio was something that I found when I was probably 18 and still had hair. And I used to live in... used to live in Northern Ontario, and my first radio station was a station called CJKL. And I was hired to work as a board operator for the overnight guy. And I also filed records. You know, the 40, remember the 45?
So why did the overnight guy need a board op?
Well, because I was thinking about it today.
Was that big of a deal?
I don't even remember what it was, but, you know, I wanted to work at the radio station and they said, well, okay, let's get Rem doing something. Okay, go file some records. And
well, so I see that one makes sense. I don't know about board hopping for the overnight guy.
That's kind of how it started. Okay. So I would, you know, and if our listener doesn't know, a board op is somebody who actually pushes all the buttons and the announcer just sits in the booth and talks, which is kind of
like what we're doing right now.
Yeah. So it turns out one night the announcer doesn't show up. He goes to a party and bails, and the midnight shift is starting. So I'm thinking,
I can play music, but I
can't talk on the radio. So I played music, and at some point I thought I've got to turn on this microphone and start doing something. So I did. And it was probably awful and terrible to hear. But about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was starting to get a sense of this radio thing.
Wow. So did you just jump on the mic without even talking to like the program director or anything? Someone needs to be on the radio.
It's had to do it.
Going
to
be me.
Had to do it.
Wow,
and I seem to remember talking to the program director. If memory serves, I think he kind of said, okay, it's you, Rem. You're on, buddy. And I did it without a name either. I couldn't, because Remy Levictoire, it wasn't actually my radio name.
What did you go by eventually?
My first, I was given the name by my first program director, and he named me Dave Wood. Dave Wood. That was my first radio name.
That's a terrible radio name. I'm sorry. But Dave Wood?
But it's easier than Remy Levictoire.
I mean, I suppose. And I guess during the time that you would have been doing this, that was a more... I guess what I'm trying to say is nowadays, if you have a unique name, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Back then, you wanted the generic name. You wanted a Smith. You wanted a...
And I wanted the job, man.
Yeah,
you could have said, your name is going to be Crap Sandwich.
Joe Dirt.
Sure. No problem. I'll do that as much as you want. So that first shift turned into, you know, regular overnight shifts. And
the next question is, did the overnight guy get canned? Is that why you got to do overnight? Because he got canned.
You know, I don't know how that exactly played out, but I know the guy who was the overnight guy went off to another station, And I'm not sure if I took over from his job or exactly how it played out, but working overnights into doing evenings, which was good.
Yep.
And then worked.
So the difference between overnights, because that always confused me, overnights would be after evening. So evening dude would probably jump on around dinner time after the drive home guy went home. So you would jump on around dinner time and then you would go until what, like 8, 9, 11 o'clock?
Well, typically in that setup, it was evenings was 6 to midnight.
Okay.
Overnights was midnight to 6.
So it was now, literally a midnight shift.
Literally. So I would come in around 11 o'clock. I'd make a pot of coffee, start slamming back the coffee with the creamer and the and the sugar. And the neat thing about working overnights in radio is that the CRTC has no regulations.
It's the watershed hour or whatever.
It was great because, you know, we would play 45, you know, singles. You remember 45s. But every once in a while, I would grab the 45 and I'd say, well, I'm going to be playing, you know, every beat, you know, some song by Corey Hart. And I think, well, what's on the other side of this? So I'd flip it over and sometimes I'd be able to play B-sides because, you know, there wasn't that regulation. And it was cool because I got to discover a lot of music that nobody would have heard. There was a band called in the 80s called Cats Can Fly. This is I'm pulling it back, man. I am pulling back the music history.
Cats Can Fly.
The band is called Cats Can Fly, and the song is called Flip Into the A-Side.
Flip Into the A-Side.
Flip Into the A-Side by Cats Can Fly. Put it into the show notes. On the 45.
I'm writing it down right now, actually. Yeah.
On the 45, there's the A-Side. On the B-Side, there's actually no song.
And wait, say that again.
In the lyrics of the song, flip into the A side, nothing on the B side. That's the lyric, one of the lyrics. Flip into the A side, you know, the A side of the 45.
Okay.
Nothing on the B side.
So there was nothing on the B side.
There was no grooves on the B side.
See, and I almost figured like the song flip into the A side would have been on the B side.
Right. You would think so. So I did this while I was on the air because I like to experiment. And I'd say, hey, there's a song from Cats Can Fly, flip into the A side, nothing on the B side. And look, I'm looking at the 45 and there's nothing on the B side. So while I had the pot up, I literally put the record down. This is on air. And I put the record down and I took the needle and I put it on the B side where it was just plastic. And the needle just jumped all over the record and was scratching horrible noise. And I said, yeah. Nothing on the B side. So, and we could do these things overnight.
See,
and
that's what I love about radio, because that there is theater of the mind, right?
And that doesn't exist anymore.
No.
You know?
Let's jump in straight into your podcast. What kind of tools do you use to do your podcast every week? And let's not limit it just to like audio editing software. What's something that you do your show prep with even?
Oh, the biggest thing that's been a super bonus for us has been Google Docs. What
really?
We do is we set up a Google Doc. We use Google Drive. And typically what we'll do is I'll take a last week's show and say we did Flash Gordon last week. We're doing the Iron Giant next week. I've got a Google document that I share with Ian and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And I just make a copy of it, make sure it's shared with them. And then when we were recording, we're looking at all of the show notes on the same document and we can see each other editing. Great, great system. I love Google Docs and Google Drive.
I think that's probably one of the best technologies for a podcaster.
Oh, for sure.
Because you guys can have a lineup of questions or whatever, and instead of just following along, you literally look for the guy's cursor.
Yeah. And what we'll do too is we drop the feedback from people who listen to the podcast. We'll take all that comment information that we get from our Facebook page, which is at scifimoviepodcast.com, and we'll drop it into the show notes. And if we need to make changes or if we need to do some editing of the intro or the extra, we can all three of us be working at the document simultaneously.
That's true.
And then when we're ready to go, we flip on the microphones and let it rip.
Fantastic. So that's the pre-show. That's during the show. While the show is going on, what are you guys using to record?
We're using a combination of things. I'm using Adobe Audition.
Because you guys do triple enders, right?
We do triple enders.
You guys are
the hardest way to do it. But it sounds the best. You know, so we've chosen the hardest way. And coming from a radio background, audio quality, and you'll agree with this, is really important.
Okay, let's just pause. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Audio quality is the highest priority. But now let's get philosophical for a question. When you're mixing it down to a 128 file, Can you hear that audio quality?
I could certainly hear the difference between something like what we're doing with the Triple Enders and maybe using a Pamela session to record Skype.
Okay, fair enough. Because the audio quality, like just now when you said "and," it started, you could hear the vibrations and the packets getting dropped and stuff. Okay, right. So if that's what you're saying, yeah. But you're not saying that you guys necessarily would need to be recording all in WAV format or WAV format or anything.
We don't necessarily need to, but I think there are best practices out there. Like I could certainly record in MP3 and I could say, Jonathan and Ian, send me your file. One of the other things too that a lot of people don't know about with Skype is it allows you to do file transfer.
Yes.
So if you've got a Skype session open and you've got an audio that you're recording with somebody, you can take that audio file, drop it right on the chat window, and it'll file transfer over. And I could do that with these guys with MP3s. I want to work with WAV because it's better quality.
So yeah, okay. So Triple Enders then, and you sit there, you get the files through Skype.
Yep.
So, and then I know you guys, because I was on the show, and thank you so much again for having me on the show. You guys do something that's really kind of cool at the beginning that really helps when it comes to editing. Can you tell us a little bit of the secret sauce?
Well, there's a few things that I think help make the show sound better. And we like doing our prep. So what we'll do is in order to make sure that when you're lining up the audio file, we usually try to start recording at roughly the same time.
Yep.
So we do that. And then we do a clapping
process. I was terrible at that, by the way.
Oh,
they're like, so hey, we're going. And I'm like, oh, what? I was already going for a while. And then, and then we do another chunk and they're like, we're going. And I'm like, oh, where's the record button? What?
Right. And then you've got to go find where your claps are. So
And then I was terrible at that too.
We do three things. We'll say, okay, are we ready to start recording? Yes. Hit record in 3, 2, 1. So this way we know all the files start at roughly the same time. Then we do 10 seconds of room noise.
Right.
So we get everybody to back away from the microphone for 10 seconds because I'm going to go through, I'm going to capture that sound profile, and I'm going to reduce the room noise by about 20% per file. So I do that. And then we do a synchronizing clap. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2. You're doing great. That's perfect. Just like that. You got the rhythm. So we do these things in the front end. So this way, when I go to take the files and drop them into Adobe Audition, and I'm using version 3, the files start at roughly the same place. Then I just line up those claps because they show up as spikes in the waveform. It makes it a lot easier.
And you know what I've noticed? Like, first off, going back one step from the claps, if you're able to steal that little, it doesn't necessarily have to be 10 seconds. I think 10 seconds is just perfect amount because you never know. But even if as an editor myself, I'm able to sneak into someone's audio where they haven't been recording for enough and get that, the quality of that podcast.
Oh yeah.
Amplifies to me. Like, I can't stand when I'm listening to a podcast and sometimes it feels like it's worse in the car. I don't know why, but when you get the
that constant little hiss or a hum or something, and it's so easy to fix.
Well, and then even some other podcasts, it bothers me too, is then when it's a two-person show, you can hear when the editor brings in the other person's file and brings it out, and you're like,
yep,
just remove it.
Yep. Or when somebody's got a compressor set up, and then you can hear the hiss when
they're
talking.
You can hear the flap come up. Yeah,
and then when they stop talking, it goes totally dead quiet. I notice like that all the time.
I don't know. Okay, another philosophy question then for you. I know when setting up my studio, I've had lots of veterans, we'll call them, people who've been in the audio industry for a while saying, you got to get a compressor. And I'm thinking, do I need a compressor? Because I can do a lot of that stuff once the file's been recorded. Like, I can do compression in Audition.
Yeah.
I don't need it going in right there. And I feel like I actually, one of the past guys we talked to was Carl Jenkins, and he does audiobooks. He had the best guide. He said, you can't remove eggs from a cake after it's been baked. So if you've got a compressor muddying up your file, you can't pull some of that stuff out after it's been mixed down.
That's a really good point.
Right?
And if you have the most raw file that you can start with, I tend to like to do that. And you know, the producers I've worked with in radio before, they've all taught me, you know, little things about how to prepare audio so it's going to be a better experience for your listener. Like, I would always take commercials and I would play them back on a little tiny Q speaker. because I want to hear
that was how something it's I sound. Remember learning. Yeah,
yeah. I want to hear it on the same kind of speaker that some person using a transistor radio in a gas station is going to listen to.
Right. I know one of the tips that one of my production teacher taught me was you can use these stereo effects. But what happens when Joe Schmo is driving down his 52 Chevy and his left speaker's blown?
Right.
And he misses half the commercial, right?
Precisely.
So you can have it panned, but don't have it pinned to the one side. Like, don't have it like Bob and Doug McKenzie, where they're literally speaking out of each speaker, because then you're only going to get half the conversation.
I'll tell you, I really wish sometimes I could do stereo, because I love the
idea. That would be cool.
I would love to, but for the purposes of our listener, I mixed down to 96K mono. And yeah, we're in 2015. I've got a 7.1 surround audio system and I'm putting out a mono podcast. And part of me still thinks I don't want to, but it's still the best way to do it. Mono signal for podcasting is still the best way to go.
Yep.
You know, and if you can do stereo occasionally, that's great. If you're using a lot of music, okay, yeah, great. But I think for the majority of conversation, mono still seems to be the best way to go.
I agree with you. I think there's no harm if you can get away with, if your host will let you do stereo, go for it too. But I think even when you're doing the mixing, don't get fancy with your stereo. Have the channels be identical.
Right. I want one consistent signal. Yeah. The biggest thing that I focus on, I'm really keen about levels and making sure that all of our co-hosts are running at the same levels. That's super important, because I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'd like this podcast, but this guy's really high and this guy's really low and I have to turn it up and turn it down. Nothing turns off a listener faster than bad levels.
Yeah, that's probably even worse than the noise floor, right?
Because the noise floor, you get used to.
Well, as long as it's not coming in and out, you do get used to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the claps, I think what the other cool thing about the claps is that you guys are all recording via Skype. And so what I've noticed that if you're getting someone from like a PAM recorder or a Skype call recorder, we'll say like right now, this recording that we're doing, it's local to me. So I'm able to jump in right at the end of when you're saying something, but when I'm done talking, there's a bit of a delay. So you guys doing the triple ender and doing it in a way that you've got the claps in there, you're getting the genuine response time.
Yeah.
You don't have to simulate that in the editing process.
Yeah. It's worked out really well for us. It's the hardest way to produce a podcast that there is. And we actually experimented. I thought, you know, we did 50 or 60 episodes with triple enders. And I thought, well, what if we went to Google Hangouts? Maybe we could do that. Cause I was looking for a way to get better use of my time. And I found that the drop in quality, it wasn't good enough. I had set an expectation for the quality of our show, and for good or bad, I've got to keep it like it is. I can't drop the quality now, because I don't want to subject our listener to the less than the best I can produce.
Yes. Fantastic. So once you've gotten that triple ender and you send it off to the intern to do all the editing.
You're a funny guy.
You do most of the editing, don't you, Rem? Like, you do 90% of the editing, don't you?
But I do have a friend of mine, Tim Allen, who jumps in and edits every other show.
Not that Tim Allen, though. Not
Tim Allen. No, we have a much more interesting Tim Allen.
And better looking.
He's much better looking. And a snappy dresser.
Yes.
And he actually jumps in and edits every other show for me. So he volunteers his time very graciously.
Oh, that's good.
So that's a great thing to have, somebody who will actually help edit.
And then you guys do another cool thing. Once the whole episode's done being edited, you toss it up to something called Auphonic?
Auphonic. A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C. I first heard Ray Ortega talk about it, and it's an online system that processes audio for you. Now, normally what I would do is I would run it through Adobe Audition. I'd use a multiband compressor, and I would get the levels as good as I can. But what I've noticed, though, is that when you get three people on a microphone, sometimes they talk a little bit louder, a little bit quieter, away from the mic, and I can see the levels fluctuate with our guests throughout the course of a show. Well, what's really great about Auphonic, and I subscribe to the version that gives me 9 hours of processing per month, and it's $13, but there's a free version.
Wow, that's affordable.
It's good. Yeah. You can actually get a free account, gives you 2 hours of processing free per month. What I love about Auphonic is that it goes through, takes my entire show as a wave, mm-hmm. and it does all the normalization, all the leveling. It
compression too? Some compression too?
Yeah. It does some compression, cleans up some of the noise in the background if it finds it. And then it automatically posts it to my Libsyn as a 96K MP3.
Fantastic. And you can probably tweak those settings too, however you want them to go, right?
Yep. Because I was playing with 128 at one point, and then I started to compare the difference between a 128 and 96 for voice. Uh-huh. And yeah, Auphonic, you can tune all that stuff. You can put in chapters if you want. You can mix out to stereo, mono. Technically,
if you're doing a 98 mono, you're doing better audio quality than if someone's doing a 128 stereo, right?
I think so. I played with
128. Because if you take a 128 stereo and make it mono, then you're only doing a 68, I think, if I'm doing my math right.
So it comes down to 96.
It doubles
and then
it.
64.
When it jumps up to a mono, it basically doubles it. It also doubles its size, if you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
It's not exact, but it's close to.
I see. And having the 96 seems to, because we're not dealing with music, we're dealing with the fairly limited vocal range.
Yep.
I found that the 96 actually sounds pretty good. And I love that it automatically posts to Libsyn for me. And then I can put the ID3 tags in there right away. What's great is that I've got a project template that I save.
I like templates.
I just upload the file. I say, pick this template, update the ID3 tags, go. And then it emails me about half an hour later and says, oh, your file's done. And then I just go check Libsyn and it's already posted to my Libsyn account.
That's fantastic.
Great.
So what are you using hardware-wise for your chain then?
Right now I'm using a Euro Rack Behringer mixer. It's a 12-channel.
Okay.
And
that's with the sliders, right?
That's with the sliders.
You got to have sliders. Sliders are so much more fun than knobs.
I like sliders a lot better. And maybe
it's who likes knobs more? Let's be honest here. Does anybody like knobs more than sliders?
Once you've been sliders, you can't go back to knobs.
Right, exactly.
There's almost it feels like a cheaping out. Mm-hmm. Something about sliders.
And I will say,
professional
sliders are easier to clean. I know when you get a dirty knob, they crackle when you turn them.
Yep. Yeah, so I've got this Euro Rack. It's a Behringer, and I'm using the tried and true ATR 2100. And that was recommended by Dave Jackson over at the School of Podcasting. And I thought, well, instead of buying one, maybe I'll buy four of them. So that's what I did.
Actually, that's the microphone. A buddy of mine was just looking at building a home kind of kit, radio dude. And he's like, I don't want to spend a lot of money on a microphone. He's like, I don't want to spend over $100. And I think, as Canadians, I think we can get them for about 80 or 90 bucks off Amazon, right?
Right. Now, I bought mine when they were cheaper about 2 years ago. They were about 40 bucks each.
Wow.
Then they got really popular.
Oh.
Price went up and they went up to 80, 90 bucks.
Wow, doubled in price.
So, but still, you know, it's a great microphone. It's got the USB and the XLR out, and it's got a headphone jack at the bottom of it too.
And that's what I was just going to say. What I love about this mic is that it is an XLR mic. So if you do want to do your analoging it, and I will say this mic does sound better because I know you and I've played with it. I think it sounds better through the XLR port.
I think it does.
Yeah.
USB, I think, is a great thing, and it's gotten better over the years.
Yeah.
Earlier, USB mics didn't sound so great, but as part of trying to keep the audio chain as good as possible, I'll run the XLR connection into my Behringer mixer, and then from the mixer, I go into a Delta 44 audio capture card.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure that that capture chain was as good as possible. Mm-hmm. You could certainly record in USB, and it sounds very usable.
It sounds good. And this is what I want to say, what I love about this microphone, especially if you're starting out, this is hands down the best mic to start off with. Because say, like, as I know, when I started podcasting, I had an USB mic. And then as soon as I wanted to start upgrading, the minute I wanted to upgrade to some more XLR-based stuff, that mic was obsolete, where this mic would grow with you. And that's why I love this microphone so much. And the other side of it is, even if I was using that in my studio right now, when I go and hit the road and want to do maybe a quick recording, well, all you need to do is bring a USB cable.
They're perfect. They're right? really, like, they're really something else. I think as far, you know, you could go up to something like a Neumann, you know, Neumanns right. are for broadcast purposes, or a really high end Sennheiser. And I think an audiophile will probably notice a bit of a difference.
Oh, totally. But, yeah. There's always going to be a better mic.
There always
unless
is.
You're going out buying the Heil PR40, which don't get me wrong, it's an amazing microphone, but I know people that argue that the, RE20 by Electrovoice is a better microphone. So you're never going to have the best microphone.
It's like the old, you know, debates we used to have about Ford and Chevy.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their preference and.
Or Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, when you find something that works, use it. And I was really glad that, that I was able to get a good recommendation from Dave Jackson on this microphone. And then I bought these really great Okiba shock mounts. So I have microphone mounted on an old scissor arm for a lamp. I just ripped the head of the lamp off.
And there then
I put the shock mount on there and my microphone's here.
Giddy
so
up.
Now I've got an adjustable microphone.
Well done, sir. Would there be any advice for a new podcaster or someone looking to do new media, new some kind of broadcasting on the internet nowadays that you would give to them starting out?
I think the first thing is find the content that you love.
Yeah.
That's really important. Find the stuff that you're going to be doing anyway. If you're going to be, you know, going to baseball games and you're an avid fan and you love hockey, make sure that you're podcasting about the stuff that you're passionate about. That's the most important thing. And then I would say start learning from the people who really know the industry. Start learning from Cliff Ravenscraft, Daniel J. Lewis, Ray Ortega, Dave Jackson. Start picking up these bits of information from these super smart people who have been around a long time, because they're going to point you in the right direction. You know, when I got my podcast started, Dave Jackson, he suggested that I go with Libsyn. Okay. Go with WordPress. Okay. Go with the ATR 2100. Okay. Every suggestion he's made has been the right decision. And look for people that you can learn from, reach out to other communities, reach out to other podcasters, share your content, and don't think of other podcasters who are doing the same thing as you. Don't think of them as competition.
Oh.
Think of them as allies.
Okay. That's cool. But why?
Because those are people who are going to help you build your audience and they're going to share your interests. So what I'll do is I've reached out to other podcasters, Seth over at the Take Me to Your Reader podcast. I've become friends with Dean, who has a site called the Science Fiction Film Podcast.
Okay.
So I'm getting to know these guys, and then we cross promote them. We've had Jason from the Walking Dead cast on our show a few times.
Yep.
So I try to promote them. They promote us. And I don't want to think of us as competitors.
It's a community.
It's a community. Yeah. And there's lots of listeners to go around. It's not a matter of taking a listener away from Dean. If somebody likes my show, I'll say, hey, you'll probably like Dean's show. Go have a listen to his show as well.
Right, right.
Listen to the podcast from Seth called Take Me to Your Reader. You know, I think there's enough listeners and enough content to go around. And I think the best way is to share it.
I think that is great advice, Rem. So, Rem, we're wrapping up here real quick. Where can someone find you? You're doing the sci-fi movie podcast. Where is that on the internet?
Oh, you can find that. That's really easy. It's scifimoviepodcast.com. Now, some people have that little dash.
I was just going to say that you can spell it either way, right?
Yep. I went and grabbed both domains.
It's the wise man over here.
They point to the same place. So if you search sci-fi movie podcast in Google, we're all over the Googles. You'll find us on iTunes. We're on Facebook as well. Sci-fi movie podcast. Twitter, we're at Sci-Fi Movie Guys. We're easy to reach. We love getting feedback. So
yes, these guys do feedback amazingly. So don't be afraid to reach out to these guys.
We always love giving our microphones to the listener. That's super important for us.
That's why you bought four of them.
That's right, because you just never know when somebody's going to show up. Here, I need a microphone. All right, I'm over here.
So we got Facebook, we got Twitter. You are on the web.
That's it. I think we survived this one. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you, Rem. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'm glad we finally got to have you on this show. Is there any other parting words you might want to mention?
I want to say thank you for taking the time, and you've been doing a really great job interviewing other people and talking to people about podcasting and audio work. So Kyron, I say thank you, good sir.
Thank you, sir. Rem, you take care, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
And if, like Rem, you have a high standard for audio and you want to have the best sounding podcast possible, one of the best ways to do it is to have amazing audio elements. And the best place I've found to find that stuff is Music Radio Creative. Head over to mrc.fm/promo, and that's where you're going to find 15% off. And that offer isn't going to be up for forever. So why not head over there right now? That's mrc.fm/promo. This won't be in the show notes. This won't be tweeted anywhere. It's an exclusive offer for someone listening to this episode. Next week, I'll have the two people you can thank for this podcast, Mike and Isabella from Music Radio Creative, the owners, the operators, the creators. They'll be behind the mic. I'll be interviewing them this time. And they have a special announcement. I'll leave it at that. Wait till next week on the audio production show from Music Radio Creative.
Listen.
Discover.
Share your ambitions. Express your feelings.
Capture what matters.
Open the world of audio.
The world of audio.
Where everything is made to amaze.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio
Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.